From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a show we have on tap. We have former major leaguer and current MLB Network host, Harold Reynolds. He stops by to talk about baseball, what's going on, some of the good teams, bad teams, all that. Plus, we'll talk with Bobby Nightingale, who covers the red-hot Cincinnati Reds for the Cincinnati Inquirer. That and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
Shohei Ohtani with the Los Angeles Angels. I'm sorry. I don't know if you watched Sunday Night Baseball and you saw the home run he hit, the guy's throwing 100 miles an hour. I love it all. And he batted second in the lineup. Thank you, Joe Madden. It was the first time in baseball since 1903 that a pitcher batted second in the lineup. What? 1903? And the crack of his bat when he hit that home run in the first inning was unbelievable. The noise that it made down at the Big A. Incredible. I hope this guy can stay healthy for an entire year. We get to see this guy's talent. This is special. We haven't seen a guy like this since Babe Ruth, and we didn't get to see him. Most of us are too young. But that's what Babe Ruth did before he became a full-time hitter. He was a pitcher and a hitter. So here it is, Shohei Ohtani. Show us, Shohei.
Number two.
Dusty Baker. What are you talking about? No, the Angels fans were within their rights to mock your team, to get on them for that cheating scandal with the garbage cans and all that other stuff. You know, you made a plea that people should look in the mirror and if they have never done anything wrong, that's not it. It's that your team didn't get the wrath of the fans last year because of COVID. 2020, there were no fans. The Astros got off scot-free. No, you're going to get it. The Astros have to accept it. Just take it. When you cheat and you get caught, you got to take the punishment. If people want to forget about it after this year, that's fine. But don't tell the fans they're wrong for holding the Astros accountable now that they're back in the ballpark.
Number three.
Badu! If you listen to my radio show, The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard, 7 to 10 Eastern, Monday through Friday, you're going to hear Badu! That's right, Akil Badu, the Tigers rookie outfielder. This guy's having an unbelievable start to his major league career. First game up, first at bat. First pitch, boom, there it goes, home run. Then this guy had a grand slam home run. He had a walk-off single in another game. And, you know, and then on Wednesday, his first at bat, he had a triple. I mean, this is what a fiery start, a great start for a guy who was a Rule 5 player from the Minnesota Twins. Maybe, just maybe, the Tigers got lucky and found a player who fans could love and embrace and who possibly could be a diamond in the rough who's already shining. Badu! Badu!
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Now let's welcome in Harold Reynolds, the former Major League ball player, of course, and one of the star Major League Baseball broadcasters on the MLB Network. Harold, welcome to the podcast. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing real good, man. Thanks for having me, Rob. Appreciate it.
No doubt. Baseball season's underway. It's been awesome. Let's first, before we get to the diamond, tell me about baseball's response to the new laws in Georgia by pulling the All-Star game, Harold, and taking it from Atlanta to Denver. What did you think of what baseball did?
Well, it was definitely the right decision. I have had no hesitation about that at all. No hesitation about anything the commissioner did. Actually, the disappointment has been that more people haven't spoke out about how right the decision was. For the commissioner of baseball to make a decision like this, there's a lot of thought, a lot of trepidation, and he made the right decision. You know, you look at just on a personal level what he really had to give up himself, you know, with people, with the owners and everything else he had to fight with or agreed with. And to get this done and make that move, I thought it was very powerful.
No doubt. I'm with you. As the league of Jackie Robinson, it speaks volumes that baseball couldn't turn its head, Harold, where a lot of, you know, people can turn their heads and act like nothing's going on. So it's definitely commendable by the commissioner and baseball.
Well, I think it was important as well that, you know, Jackie was born in Georgia. And not only Jackie Robinson, though, the players stood up last year with all the racial injustice that went on in this country. Major League Baseball opened their facilities for people to sign up for voting and were a big part of pushing people to vote. And it wasn't Democratic, it wasn't Republican, it wasn't independent. It was American-based, you know, a civil right. And I think here the issue this year, and why I said I was disappointed earlier, was I understand if people had a tough time last year standing up for right or wrong and feeling like they didn't want to get involved with the injustices that went on. But voting, this is sacred to our country. This is not racial. It should never be. And to me, that's one of the most sacred things left in our Constitution is the right to vote. So we should never be suppressing people from an opportunity. We should be reaching out to engage people to have more people in the democratic process of voting. So my disappointment is that baseball did the right thing here, and the pushback is not understanding it. So that's just my take on the whole deal.
No doubt. All right, let's get to the field. Our guest is Harold Reynolds, of course, the former second baseman for the Mariners and the Orioles and the Angels. I don't know. I don't have enough time for all the teams. Is that it? That's it, Harold. You played those
that was
teams.
It. Just those three.
Those three. But let's go to the field and Shohei Ohtani. I mean, we got to see him Sunday Night Baseball. Was throwing 100 miles an hour. Hit an unbelievable, the crack of the bat on that home run he hit. Can he pull this off, Harold, and play, you know, pitch and play every day as a hitter?
I think so. I'm excited that Joe Madden's his manager and has taken all the governors off and letting him do it. You know, if a kid goes to college and he goes to play college baseball, we have two-way players in college baseball all the time. They pitch on the weekend and they DH or they play first base or whatever position they do all week long. So I don't know why a guy at this major league level, if you have the talent and the ability to do it, can't pull it off. Is it possible fatigue later down the road? Yeah, I can see that. But if he stays healthy, he's really DHing. It's not like he's running around the outfield and going to crash into people, maybe making a catch on a fly ball. He's taking four at-bats a night as a hitter, and he's throwing 100 miles an hour during the week. So I thought it was one of the coolest things to see him do both in one game, but that will be the most taxing day of the week when he pitches and hits. Other than that, I don't see it being that taxing.
All right, let's go to the American League. I want you to give me the best team you got in the American League and then the best team in the National League. Who's the best team, at least on paper?
Well, on paper, I think it's the Chicago White Sox. I think they match up as well with anybody. I know a lot of folks are saying the Yankees. I just don't see the pitching depth of the Yankees making it through. I see that with the White Sox. I think Tony La Russa over 162 games is a huge advantage. And I love their talent. I love that team. Losing Jimenez early on is going to hurt them, but they've had a number of kids already step up early and swing the bat and play well. So I picked the White Sox, the team coming out of the American League.
How about the National League? Who do you like? I mean, there's a lot. I like the Padres. I know Tatis, you know, with his shoulder now, but I liked what the Padres did and the Dodgers, of course, on paper. There's a couple great teams in the National League. Who do you got?
Well, baseball is really not a sport where you go one guy tilts it, like basketball possibly, or a quarterback in the NFL. But I think with Tatis's injury, and when you have that kind of shoulder injury, we don't know what kind of player he's going to be. And I would say he's not going to be back for a good 3 months. So that knocks the Padres down a step for me. I had them step lockstep with the Dodgers. I really felt like that. But the Dodgers are a superior team. They got depth. They got pitching. They got offense. They got it all. And they got Mookie Betts. So I think the Dodgers are the team to beat. And with Tatis's injury, it makes it a lot easier for me to say that now than it did maybe 2 weeks ago.
I have to agree. I picked them to actually win the division in the NL West. But with no Tatis for, as you said, at least 3 months, that's a devastating blow. His name is Harold Reynolds. Get his baseball knowledge on MLB Network. Harold, appreciate the time, my man, and we'll see you down the road.
Appreciate it, Rod. Thank you for having us. Take care.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
The first week of the 2021 season is in the books, and it was 140 ages. Snow dingers, cats on the field, home runs that became singles, all of the quirkiness that makes baseball great. But what we're seeing out in Anaheim this season in regards to two-way players so far is truly historic. On Sunday night, Shohei Ohtani became the first pitcher to DH and bat second in the order since 1903, and his feats didn't stop there. The 2018 Rookie of the Year hit a 451-foot home run in the first inning. At the time, the longest home run hit in this young season, as well as threw a pitch at 101.1 miles per hour in the third. Again, at the time, the fastest pitch thrown by a starter. Just high school stuff. Now, according to MLB.com, Ohtani became the first player in the StatCast era with a batted ball of 110 miles per hour and a pitch of over 100 miles per hour. And at 115.2 off the bat, it was the hardest home run hit by any Angels player, including Mike Trout, since 2015. Just unreal. But if you think it stops at just Ohtani, you're wrong. In the same game, first baseman Jared Walsh hit a pair of home runs, including a walk-off three-run shot to down the White Sox. Now, his name might fly under the radar, but last season, Walsh hit .293 with a .971 OPS, finishing in the top 10 Rookie of the Year voting. And like Ohtani, he's also got an arm. He made five appearances as a pitcher in 2019, posting a .180 ERA. And even though he's supposedly just a hitter this season, supplanting future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols in the lineup, by the way, Walsh is showing he can be Ohtani light in a pinch. Now, Joe Maddon has some serious toys at his disposal if he can deploy them correctly.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
All right, J.R., is it foul or fair for the Angels to expect Shohei Ohtani to be able to carry the burden of pitching and hitting for the entire season?
That's foul.
That is a foul ball.
The jury is still out on whether or not the wear and tear of pitching 100 miles per hour and hitting bombs nearly 500 feet will break him down this season. But so far, it has every year since he came into the league. I'll tell you what. We have never seen a player like Ohtani so capable of throwing flames when he's pitching and being a powerful, dominant hitter, probably in our lifetime. Unfortunately, he's like the test dummy for such a rare experience. Can he do it? Sure. Will his body hold? Who knows? Ohtani was doing it in 2019 before he got hurt, and he's off to a quick, multifaceted start so far this season. On Sunday, he had the entire baseball world clocking him, and he didn't disappoint. Striking out 7 over 4 2/3 innings while reaching 100 miles per hour 9 times. Can you say Nolan Ryan Express? He also smacked a 451-foot home run. Can you say Mark McGwire power? In 2019, he was rolling until he was sidelined with the problem in his patella, a condition that occurs in approximately, just 1% to 2% of the population? Talk about bad luck. Then in 2020, he experienced discomfort in his arm, which an MRI revealed was a flexor strain. Not sure what the Angels are hoping will happen in 2021, but it's sure fun watching. Let's understand something, though. Ohtani doesn't have to get hurt hitting or fielding, as we saw on Sunday night when Jose Abreu took him out as he covered the plate. The more you're on the field, the more responsibilities you have, the greater the chance to get hurt. It's 50-50 he remains healthy this season.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast a friend of mine, friends with his dad, also work where he's working. It is Bobby Nightingale, who covers the Cincinnati Reds for the Cincinnati Inquirer. Bobby, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Love the name of the podcast. Congrats on the website as well.
Man, thank you so much, MLBBro.com. And yes, Inside the Parker, which you know drops every Thursday. Great to have you on, Bobby. Let's start. Your team that you're covering, the Reds, red hot out of the box to start the season, 5-1. I thought, Bobby, when you lose your Cy Young Award winner and Trevor Bauer, that things are going to go south. Why haven't things gone south?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone kind of naturally thought that, but I think you look at the offense. I mean, last year they entered the season, everyone thought they'd have the best lineup in the division. You know, you signed Nick Castellanos, you signed Mike Moustakas, you signed Chogo Akiyama. You know, they had a lot of high hopes for their offense, and they just struggled. I mean, they hit .212, the lowest batting average in the league last year, and it's like this first week, every hit that didn't drop last year is dropping now. I mean, everything they're putting in play is finding holes. They're just producing a ton of runs. So you can see just the success the offense is carrying this team. I mean, 57 runs in six games is unbelievable production.
I saw Castellanos is swinging a hot bat, batting almost .500.
Yeah, and I think the thing that he's doing the most for the team is bringing so much energy. You see him, you know, he's bat flipping, turning to his teammates and hyping him up after each home run that he's hitting. Leads the team with 4 homers. I think he has 10 RBIs. So he's just the guy that is providing that energy. And he got the, you know, he was in the news when the benches cleared against the Cardinals. You know, he stood over a pitcher and yelled, "Let's go." But, you know, for a team, I mean, that's trying to get off to a hot start, I mean, it's just firing them up. And he's kind of the catalyst for everything that's gone on so far.
Our guest is Bobby Nightingale, who covers the Cincinnati Reds for the Cincinnati Inquirer. Tell me about the pitching. Do they have enough? And with no Trevor Bauer, who are the main guys that they have to rely on to pick up that slack, Bobby?
Yeah, Luis Castillo is their main guy. And Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray starting the season on the 10-day injured list, but he should be back within the next week or two. But those two guys are the main guys that are going to fill in for Bauer. I mean, if you went into last season, I mean, Sonny Gray was the opening day starter and Luis Castillo was number two and Bauer was their number three, coming off an unproven season. So, they kind of look at it the same way as saying, you know, Trevor Bauer won the Cy Young, but they weren't expecting him to have a Cy Young caliber season. You know, going into the year, he was their number three starter. So I think they're looking at it in terms of, yeah, it might be a step back a little bit. Anytime you lose a Cy Young winner, it's going to take a step back, but maybe it's not as much as they thought it would be in the past. They also have Wade Miley, you know, a guy who, when he's healthy, he pitches well. And then Tyler Mahle, he had a breakout year last year. And if he takes another step up, I mean, he can kind of fill into that Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo tier.
The NL Central is no joke. I mean, when you look at it, Bobby, you got the Reds, Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers. The only team that's out of it are the Pirates. They're already 1-5 to start the season. But those are four teams that all could win the division and all make the playoffs. Am I right?
Yeah, I think you're completely right. I mean, I think a lot of it's going to come down to who beats up on the Pirates and who beats up on each other. You know, each team, they all have a flaw. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, there's no Dodgers in the division. There's no Mets or Braves in their division. But it's four teams that are capable of winning a lot of games. I mean, you look at the Brewers, the back end of their bullpen with Devin Williams and Josh Hader, the starting pitchers they have, Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff. I mean, if they have a lead after 7 innings, you almost have to look at it as a win. So they're one of those teams. The Cardinals are always there. The Cubs have, I think, the best offense, especially if they keep this core around. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's a really tight division, and I think that's why it's so important the Reds get off to the hot start, you know, 5-1 record.
And in case people are wondering, they say that name, Bobby Nightingale, that sounds familiar. Yes, his dad is Bob Nightingale, who's one of the best baseball writers in the country, working for USA Today. And I wanted to say to you, Bobby, you know, it was awesome to see you progress and move on and get to cover baseball and do what your dad did. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I enjoy seeing you flourish doing this.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words. And, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, you got to see the beginning of my career when I had the MLB.com internship in Detroit. I saw you a ton back then.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, it's been a fun ride.
All right. His name, Bobby Nightingale for the Cincinnati Inquirer. Check him out. Bobby, thanks for joining the podcast.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Batter up.
It's Jones in for baseball.
Bravo.
A fan's take on the game we love.
You're out.
Hello, everyone. This is Jones Witten, MLB Bro, content reporter. Last week, I gave my thoughts on how I believe Aaron Judge is primed for a big year this year. It seems to me Judge might be an inside the parker listener. He's been nothing short of magnificent. Yeah, I know it's only been 5 games so far. However, Judge is 8 for 22 from the plate with 2 home runs. It's important to note that Judge could become a free agent in 2023. We've seen players such as Acuna, Tatis, and Lindor willing to sign extensions with their clubs when their organizations step up to the plate and make respectable offers. If the Yankees want to keep Judge's chambers on 161 in River, they need to talk to him nice. Or as we say out here in the Bronx, habla mi suave.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money. Love that money.
Last week we were 2-1. This week let's go 3-0, shall we? New York Yankees, Tampa Bay Rays, game number 1. I'm all over the Yankees. Biggest reason for that, Rich Hill's going for Tampa Bay. He's on the back nine of his career. In fact, I don't know how much he has left in the tank. Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge each hit homers for the Bronx Bombers last week. Stanton, a monster grand slam. These guys stay hot and they stay right. I like the Yankees big on the money line. Houston and Oakland is game number 2 for me. A's off to a horrific start. In fact, it's one of the worst starts in the last 105 years of Major League Baseball. Astros on the other side, despite the fact that fans are throwing trash cans onto the diamond. I'm taking Houston with the chalk to win that game as well. Last game is on Sunday, Anaheim and Toronto. Shohei Ohtani is going for the Halos in this one. I don't know how long he's going to last. Control was an issue for him, despite the fact they left with a no decision. I like the offenses in both of these games. Take the over between the Blue Jays and the Angels.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Here's reason 100 why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. And those other sports have done their part as far as social justice. But here was a big one. We're talking about on the fly pulling this year's All-Star game from the city of Atlanta because of the voting rules that had laws that have been changed in the state of Georgia. I mean, we're talking about July. It's coming up. Baseball didn't flinch. It moved it to Denver. The players were behind it. The corporations and advertisers were behind it. And baseball made a bold move. I love what baseball did from the standpoint that this is the league of Jackie Robinson. There's no way baseball could have turned its head from what's going on in Georgia and just accept it. Bravo to Commissioner Rob Manfred. Bravo to baseball as a whole. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.